Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Another year, 2021, is almost gone and we're looking forward to a new year. As we think about that, I ran across some what I think are pieces of history about items that we still use today. They may be changed and improved, but they are used even though they might have been invented a long time ago, or surprisingly enough, some of them not all that long ago. So here's the first one, mini skirts. Yeah, some ancient examples of the mini skirt appear in Egyptian frescoes and on figurines, but then in 1926, Josephine Baker famously wore a mini skirt made out of bananas during a performance in Paris. However, credit for creating the miniskirt as we know it today generally is given to Mary Quant, who in 1964 designed a skirt that hit several inches above the knee and named it after her favorite car, the Mini. Then other designers started experimenting with hemlines in the 1960s, so we're not really sure who did it first. But whatever, mini skirts are around, and through movies and other popular things, singers and so on, they continued to be most popular. Goldie Hawn on Laugh-In was one of the celebrities who, you know, made the miniskirt more popular. And that was in the 1960s. And then, guess what? In the 1970s, the miniskirt fell out of favor, but it was revived. Then in 1982, the rah-rah skirt, I've never called it that before, the miniskirt was called the rah-rah skirt, brought short hemlines back to the fashion forefront, and skirts with short hemlines continued to be a trend well into the 1990s, with celebrities like Madonna and Julia Roberts seen wearing them. The miniskirt was also incorporated into women's work wardrobes in the 1990s, thanks to the TV show like Ally McBeal. And in the 2000s, celebrities like Paris Hilton and Britney Spears continued the miniskirt trend. In the mid-2010s, the 60s-inspired miniskirts were all over the fashion runways. So, 1960s, really the beginning of what we know of as the miniskirt, seems to be here to stay. Now, a clothing item that started a bit before that, and you maybe never have even thought about, are belt loops. Belt loops are a more recent invention than you might think. They were introduced by Levi, that's not a surprise, when the company released their brand 501 jean in 1922. Up until the 1920s, belts were considered decorative items and were mostly reserved for military uniforms. However, World War I, high-end clothing reserved for those uniforms became a trend, and the trend caught on among a younger generation of men who had returned from the war and were starting to enter the workforce. So belt loops became necessary. For a while, suspender buttons and the back cinch remained on jeans alongside the belt loops in order to appeal to older gentlemen. But in 1942, the belt finally took over and the Levi's 501 jean no longer carried the back cinch or the suspender buttons. World War II resource crunch helped this along, since the government required manufacturers to remove a certain amount of material from their garments. Today, most jeans and pants, even though we probably don't need them, feature belt loops. And using a belt, it seems to me, has become much less popular. But the belt loops are here to stay. And in fact, if you want pants without a belt loop, you will have to look for them. But of course, they are available. Well, here's one that you might think is a really old one, and it's in the 1800s, so it is a bit older. That is mason jars. The mason jar was invented by John Landis Mason, who filed his patent for improvement in screw neck bottles on November 30th, 1858. His invention was the first hermetically resealable glass jar and was intended to help improve food preservation and safety by providing an airtight storage container. Mason's invention transformed home canning industry, but Mason himself did not profit significantly. After his patents expired in 1879, his designs became public knowledge, so there were a number of manufacturers who began to make those mason jars. In 1884, the Ball Corporation began manufacturing glass home canning jars and quickly became one of the most well-known manufacturers of mason jars. Today, mason jars continue to be a very popular product, and sometimes the stores run out of them during canning season, but they're used for other purposes in addition to canning, including drinking glasses. I've seen some used as decorations on wedding banquet tables, and also at lunch counters, and then as receptacles for almost anything. Fountain pens, leftover ingredients, just many, many ways that we use the mason jars. And isn't it interesting that although Mr. Mason went broke, it's still called the mason jar as a general overall name. Oh well, they're still here today, and so he had a really good idea. What about the history of a ballpoint pen? Now, you'd think that's pretty recent. In fact, it can be traced back to 1888 when its first patent was made. However, commercial availability didn't happen until a half a century later. In 1888, John Loud of Massachusetts received a patent for a pen with a spinning ball tip that was a reservoir above it continuously coated with ink. The only problem was the ink kept clogging up, and so his was not very successful. Then two Hungarian brothers invented a ballpoint pen in the 1930s using the thick ink used in newspaper printing. They found this sort of ink was drying quickly, and they well understood about the typical pen's issue. So they went ahead and did more improvement and said, well, this ballpoint pen that they were inventing would do two things. It would work as a cap and wouldn't let the ink dry, and the ink flow would be at a controlled rate from the pen. So two needs were met with this new ballpoint pen. Well, as that goes on, in the United States, Milton Reynolds launched the first popular commercially produced ballpoint pen to replace, we were still using in the United States, that common fountain pen in 1945. In this new one, a tiny ball that rolled hard, gelatin-consistent ink onto the paper was used. The Reynolds pen was a simple writing tool advertised as the first pen to write underwater. And also remember that it's not mentioned here, but one of the first problems of those ballpoint pens was men clipped them into their shirt pockets, those white shirts, and pretty soon there was a bunch of ink leaking out. So there still were problems to solve. Also, at the time that Reynolds launched his sale of at least 10,000 pens, they were priced at $10 each. So think about ballpoint pens today. You can probably get them for 10 cents or 30 cents, certainly under a dollar. And it was actually a Frenchman, Marcel Bic, B-I-C-H, was the first person who introduced industrial processes to produce great number of inexpensive pens, and that was in 1945. Well, his name, B-I-C-H, was shortened to Bic, B-I-C. Now we all know about Bic pens. That's the name that we're familiar with. And they continue to produce millions of pens, and we continue to buy millions of pens. So going back in history, yep, there are a lot of things that we continue again with sometimes improvements and certainly lower price. Hope you've enjoyed this look back in history as we look forward in our history. Until next time, here's a thought from Sally Brown from Peanuts. They say the best way is to just live one day at a time. If you try to live 7 days at a time, the week will be over before you know it.